chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. I'm going to read. I'm going to read one verse to you this morning. And then pray that the Lord gets my thoughts right as to what I want to say to you. Because this is something the Lord showed me about a week or two ago, and I've been struggling to make it coherent. And even on my typed out notes, I have handwritten notes, so I hope this all makes sense as to where I want to go and what I want to do with this morning. But if I'd ask if you would please stand, we show our honor and respect for the reading of God's holy word. One verse. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Let me read it again. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your holy word this morning. We now humbly come to it and ask that you add a blessing to the reading of it. Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of sin this morning, empty me of self. Lord, may I fade to the back and may you, the true preacher, come forward. May I be a blessing to your people this morning. Give me clarity of thought to what you have laid on my heart to say this morning. And Lord, may we have ears ready to hear and hearts ready to receive. Lord, may you be glorified in everything that is said and done today. And Lord, if there be one person here that does not know you as Lord and Savior of their life, that has never put their faith and trust in your finished work of Calvary, may today be the day of salvation. And for the Christian who has maybe gotten off track, may we know that we can come back to you and that you are a God who is always ready to forgive, always ready to give grace, and always ready to receive us back. We ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So we're coming up on our last week of Joshua and Judges. And I'm still praying through where we're going to go next after we have our final message from the last five chapters of Judges next week. We may go into 1 and 2 Samuel. I haven't gotten full clarity of thought on that yet or direction from the Lord. We may take a break from the devotional and go through a different book. I don't know, but be looking for that, be listening for that, and of course I will make you aware of what we are going to be doing. But as we come to this last, to this section of Judges 12 through 16, I will tell you, I was a little tempted to preach on Judges 12. Just because Judges 12 in this whole section is probably overlooked. It's not the most intriguing passage of Scripture. And then 13 through 16, the rest of the week, as we've gone through with these devotional readings, have been the story of Samson, which does capture our attention, right? There's a lot of stuff about Samson. And so while I was tempted just because Judges 12 would get overlooked to preach out of there, I decided to keep with Judges 13 through 16 and look at the life of Samson this morning. And Samson's life, which is detailed in 13 through 16, Samson was the 13th judge of Israel, the 13th judge that we've seen so far through this book of Judges. And it sounds pretty interesting how Samson was born, right? He was born to a woman who was believed to be barren. And an angel came unto her and said, no, you will have child. Now, it wasn't an immaculate conception, but she was giving birth unto Samson and was told that Samson, from the time she conceived, would be a Nazarite unto the Lord. So he would live under the Nazarite code, a specific code for those who are serving and living unto God. Now, what's interesting about that, and again, the Bible provides us with proof texts every now and again for why we believe certain things. Here's another one that talks about the sanctity of life. Usually, a Nazarite
was committed when they were born unto living a holy life for God. Here we see God again recognizes the personhood of the human being in the womb and says to the woman, from here, from the time of conception, you are to raise him as a Nazarite, which means the food and the drink that you put into your body and how you live is important. Okay, so right there's one of those proof texts. Life begins at conception. God honors life beginning at conception. God backs it up time and time again that life begins at conception. Okay, and in the womb. So we see that first and foremost. Then we see that Samson, when he was brought forth and he began to live his life under this covenant that was given to him from day one, that he was to be a deliverer, he was to be a judge, he was endued with the Spirit of God, which made him crazy strong. This man had unbelievable strength. But here's the thing that we often struggle with Samson, and I saw it in a lot of our comments this week in GCS, in the GCS community page as we go through these passages. He lived a very questionable life. He lived a very questionable life, right? We see it from the beginning, right? He saw a woman who was a Philistine, who was of the enemy's clan, and said, yeah, that woman, she's caught my eye. I want her to be my wife. Bring her here. Told his parents to do that. Go get her. Bring her here. Wasn't supposed to intermarry. Go get her. Bring her here. I was almost tempted to preach a message on how not to court a woman to marry. All right? Didn't go down that path. All right? Bring her here. So we see that to begin with. On his way to gather her and to marry her, we see that a lion approaches him and he rips apart the lion with his bare hands. Bare hands. Right? Most people die. He ripped them apart. All right? Samson, unbelievably strong, right? Has his long hair. And then it says, after, when he was coming back, he was hungry. 30, he saw the carcass of a lion. He saw that bees had made a hive in there, and there was honey in the carcass. And he scooped in the midst of the bees and in the midst of the carcass, grabbed the comb and ate the honey. Excellent, right? Wasn't supposed to touch a dead animal. That's what the covenant of a Nazarene says, but okay. We see that questionable thing. We find out later on, he makes a deal, or he makes a bet with the Philistines about a riddle. His first wife sells him out. By the way, did you figure out as you read through this that Samson did not have very good judgment in picking women? Almost did a sermon on the down, you know, men, a woman can always bring you down. But I didn't go that route either. Because in my case, I've always had my wife lift me up. So I can't identify with Samson. So, she's in here, right? Okay, just wanted to make sure. But in his anger, because she sold out the secret to the Philistines and they got it, he had to deliver 30 pairs of clothing. And so he went and he killed 30 Philistines, took their clothing, and paid it off that way. This is a man of God. Okay? In his rage for what took place, he left his first wife in rage, left her alone, abandoned her. Dad of the wife didn't think she was coming, or he was coming back, so dad went ahead and gave her to the best man of his wedding to somebody else. Samson eventually comes back to claim his wife. Dad says, I already gave her away, and in a fit of rage, took 300 foxes, bound up 300 foxes by their tails. You animal lovers probably don't like this part, but oh well. By their tails, set their tails on fire, and then let them go out into the vineyards, into the olive yards, and into all of their crops, and let them all burn it down. I know that sounds cruel, but that's also pretty cool. Not only that, he then gets into a fight later on. Oh, by the way, that fire and that destruction winds up killing his wife and her family. So now he's single again. Not only that, but then he goes on and scripture says that he gets into a war with the Philistines again, and by himself with the jawbone of an ass, he kills over 1,000 Philistines. Just with the jawbone, of a donkey. My kids are in here, I gotta clarify that. Of a donkey, all right? Then when they tried to capture him as he's reigning as the judge, he reigned for 20 years, they tried to pin him into a city, and instead of being able to pin him into a city, he went to the city gates with the people that were on the city gates, and he grabbed the city gates up and carried these heavy, heavy city gates 30 miles outside of the city and put them there. Okay, how many people think, number one, this guy has anger problems? How many people think this guy has moral issues, right? This guy just basically, it looks like he does whatever he wants. He winds up sleeping with harlots. One harlot in particular he develops a relationship with named Delilah. Delilah, not Lila. And we see that she eventually sells him out as well. We'll look at that in just a little bit. But even up until this point, again, I saw these comments a lot. This is a man of anger. This is a man of rage. We see the sins of adultery. We see the sins of fornication. We see moral failures, defilement, vengeance, compromise of his calling unto the Lord. And we see him constantly fulfilling his own selfish desires rather than the desires of God. And the question becomes, as we look at this and we read about this man, is how can this man be fit for service unto God? I mean, I saw the questions asked. Why would God choose Samson? Why didn't God say, okay, yeah, you screwed up, I'm moving on to somebody else? Why did God continue to stick with Samson and try, in the midst of all of this, how could this glorify God? How could this be a man of God with all of his downfalls and with all his, how could this be a guy that serves the Lord? And my response to that to you this morning is, what's so great about you that qualifies you to serve our God? I'm waiting. You know, we have a very easy time often as Christians in the age of grace in which we live in, where we can look at biblical stories and we know what's going on and we know the outcome and we see the person and we just, folks, number one, just remember, we only have what Scripture has given us, okay? We only have those four chapters when it comes to Samson, right? But we look at it and we make our own judgments, not knowing what we would do in the same situations and in the same conditions, right? This is one of those things that if we ever find ourselves saying, this was someone that Scripture says is a man of God, and God used for his glory, and all of these faults, for us to say, how could that happen, right? That's passing a judgment. Those are the sorts of judgments we're not supposed to make, right? Those are the sorts of judgments. Even when we look at someone in our own life and be like, they call themselves a Christian, but they do this and this and this and this, that's way above your pay grade for judgment, right? That's where you sit back and you pray and you say, okay, they profess the Lord. If they truly did, they'll answer to the Lord and God will deal with them. And here's my chance to just love them, show the grace of God, help them in any way that I can, and pray for them. Amen. I know, we don't like that, right? Okay. But here's the thing. We get to the latter part of Judges 16, and it looks like, okay, Samson's sins have finally caught up with him. Samson's lifestyle has finally caught up with him. We see in chapter 16 towards the end that he defiles his covenant with God. And maybe that was the straw that broke the camel's back, right? His hair, right? Specifically, it was talked about in the covenant that he would never cut his hair. His hair would always grow long. And that would be the source of his strength. But he sold out to Delilah, right? He told Delilah what his secret was. And Delilah sold out his secret for silver, right? And it says that they came unto, and as she was, you know, he had his head on her lap. And he's resting. This guy must have been a heavy sleeper if he could not feel someone cutting his hair. All right? And it says that she cut off his hair, and then they left. And they were waiting outside the doors, and she yells, "The Philistines are here. They're going to capture you." And look with me at verse 19. Look with me at Look with me at verse 20. Verse 20 is one of the most saddest verses in the entire Bible, in my opinion. It says, "And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times before and shake myself.'" Now here's the sad part. "And he understood not that the Lord was departed from him." He understood not that the Lord was departed from him. And because of that, Samson is now going to suffer the consequences of his sin. Samson's now going to suffer the consequences of breaking his covenant. Look with me at verse 21. It said, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes." Oof. Killed him. Or not killed him, but killed his eyesight. Could you imagine how painful that must have been? "Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." In other words, they took him to prison, they tied him up, and they made him do labor in the prison. And now he can't see. Folks, I heard a sermon one time where the pastor said, "If you don't get out of your sin when you have the opportunity to, sin will eventually blind you, bind you, and grind you." And that's what we see with Samson. It has blinded him, it has bound him, and it did grind him. It took a heavy price on not just him, but his entire body. And we think this is the end for Samson. But then you get to verse 22. And like I said, I've read the story of Samson many times. And like I said, I try to stay a week ahead in the devotional readings so that way I'm not like scrambling to put a message together the week of. But for the first time, I noticed verse 22. And again, what's it say? "Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." In the midst of all of this that has happened to Samson, and all of his disobedience, and all of his turning his back on the Lord, and all of his selfish ways, and finally looks like he's been caught, you know, Samson's finally getting what he deserves in the midst of all of this, we get a glimmer of the grace of God. Pastor, how can you say that? Because you know what that verse tells me? God wasn't done with Samson. What was the sign of Samson's covenant with God? His hair. His hair. And despite all the ways that Samson screwed up, believer, are you listening to me this morning? Child of God, are you listening to me this morning? Listen to me. This is important. Despite all of the ways that Samson screwed up, listen to me, I don't care how bad you think you've messed up in your life, Christian. I don't care how much you think you've sinned against God and that you have ruined your calling by what God has called you to as a child of His through the mistakes that you have made. One question for you this morning: have you done things like Samson? Have you? If you haven't done to the extent of Samson, listen to me, even if you have gone to the extent of Samson, of getting away from God, listen to me, there's still room for restoration in your life. There is still room for God's mercy in your life. There is still room for God's grace in your life. Look, they may have taken his strength, they may have taken his eyesight, they may have put him somewhere that he couldn't get out of, but you know what they couldn't take? They could not take his breath from him. And because they couldn't take his breath from him, he still had a calling upon his life. And Christian, if you're here this morning, I don't care what you've done, what you've gone through, I don't care how bad you think you've messed up, if you're awake, if you're here, if you're breathing, God still has a plan for your life. He's still got something for you to do. He's still got something for you to do. Can I show you three things real quick, just from this one verse, that give me all kinds of hope for restoration if you've been here and you're screwed up? Three real quick things I want you to notice. Number one, and this is where I got to go to my handwritten notes now. No matter how bad you screw up, we've hit on this a little bit already, there's still a calling on your life. Do you hear that, Christian? I'm talking to Christians this morning. I'm talking to those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how bad you have screwed up in your life, there's still a calling on your life. Why do I say that? Because it says his hair began to grow back. You know, God could have very easily said, you know what, Samson? Yeah, you're right. You screwed up. You found yourself in jail. When this woman cuts your hair, I'm not going to allow for your hair to grow back. Listen to me. God can do that, right? God could have said, I'm done. Your baldness is permanent. Okay? And if you're here this morning and you're bald, that's not a curse on you. I'm just letting you know that. But he could have said, your baldness is permanent. No more will you ever bear the sign that you have forsook. No more will I use you. You're going to rot in that prison until the day you die. No more will you regain your strength. No more will you be able to do work for me and for you to glorify me and for you to fulfill what I've called you to. But that's not the case. It says his hair began to grow back. In the same way, listen to me, Christian, you know what you have that Samson doesn't? You know when it says that the Lord left Samson, right? And he didn't know that the Lord left him? You know what it's talking about? It's talking about a spirit. It's talking about the Spirit of God. You know, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God doesn't operate like the Spirit of God operates in the New Testament. In the New Testament, when we profess faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God comes and lives and dwells and takes up residence in us, and it will never depart from us. It is our down payment, our guarantee for redemption for when Christ comes back or when we go home to glory. But in the Old Testament, that's not the case. The Spirit of God came on people for miraculous things and went off of people, came on to people and came off of people. You even see David crying out to God in the midst of his sin, Lord, do not take your spirit from me. Because he knew when the Holy Spirit was upon him. And he knew when it would leave. You know what's great, Christian? While Samson had to experience the Spirit of God leaving him and crying out to God, you know what? You don't ever have to experience that. It doesn't matter. Listen to me. That Holy Spirit is kind of like your long hair as Gideon. That Holy Spirit is going to cover you until the day of redemption. No matter what you've done, no matter how you've screwed up. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I professed faith in Jesus Christ and I was walking the life and I wound up going down the wrong road and I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. I don't know if I'm truly saved. Listen to me. You are still saved because the Spirit of God still resides in you. You're covered. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You've got that assurance. It's there. You're covered. You're covered. You don't ever have to worry about the Spirit of God leaving you. And because the Spirit of God won't leave you, and because you've got that covering, listen to me, Christian, no matter what you've done, God still has a calling on your life. No matter how much you think you have screwed up, listen to me, Christian, you are not that powerful to undo God's calling on your life. He still has a purpose. He still has a plan for you, even in the midst of your sin. You're still covered by the blood. You're still his child. Your head may be scalped. There may be spiritual darkness all around you, but the calling is still on your life. How do I know that? Because the Apostle Paul even says, I believe it's in Philippians, he says that God will continue the work of redemption in you until the day of completion. What's the day of completion? When you go home to glory. Nothing you can do to stop that. So number one, I want you to see that. No matter how bad you screw up like Samson, no matter how bad you screw up and you sin, the calling of God is still in your life. That's number one. Number two, what I want you to get out of this morning is restoration takes time. Restoration takes time. Look, you may have sincerely blown your life in a bad way after you've been saved, and you may think everything's crumbled and fallen apart, and you may be living in the midst of darkness, almost like your own little prison cell where it feels like spiritual darkness all around and you cannot see. Listen to me. Listen to me. God desires to restore you. He wants to restore you. And he wants to continue to use you and turn all those horrible things into good things for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Listen to me. He wants you to get there. But it's going to take time. Right? I imagine, right, we see Samson cry out later on towards the end when he's in the presence of the Philistines. But I imagine that's not the first time Samson cried out to God. I imagine Samson's been crying out to God since the moment he was put in that prison. Since the moment he realized what he had done. Since the moment he got up and went outside and realized the Spirit of God ain't on me anymore. My strength isn't here. I imagine that God, for a period of time, had a one-on-one prayer meeting with Samson going on. And all those hours and all those days and all those months of him grinding in the prison, I imagine there was a lot that Samson was talking to God about. Lord, give me one more chance. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm embarrassed. Lord, I promise, if you get me back, Lord, I won't be selfish anymore. Lord, I promise, you get me out of this, Lord. I promise I'll only do things for your glory. Lord, I promise, if you get me out of this, Lord, I will do what you've called me to do, and I'll do your stuff and not the things I want to. I imagine there was a cry of repentance from Samson in the midst of that. And I imagine it continued. I imagine Samson probably wanted God to get him out just like that, right? Isn't that how we are, right? We realize our brokenness, and we realize we screwed up, and we think we're just going to cry out to God, and that God, if he's a good God, he should just restore us just like that. But you know how restoration comes? The same way that verse 22 tells us. Restoration comes in the same passage and in the same timeline as hair growing back on your head. It takes time. Remember, Samson's blind. Samson's got his hand, but I imagine there are some times where Samson would wipe his brow, and maybe over the course of a week or two, this is getting longer again. He didn't have a mirror to look in. He keeps crying out to God, praying to God after another month. Whoa, what? He keeps crying out to God and praying to the Lord. Lord, thank you. Lord, it seems as my hair's coming back. Lord, help me. Get out. Another month goes by. All of a sudden, he feels that it's down on his shoulders. Another month goes by. Maybe it's halfway down his back. Maybe he's starting to feel a little bit stronger again. But here's the point. He was being restored slowly because there are some things that God needed to talk to him about. There were some things God needed to check in him. There were some things God wanted his attention for. There were some things that Samson needed to experience in the midst of his repentance. And listen to me, if God just took you out of your mess when you cried out to him and just, hey, everything's wonderful, you wouldn't learn. Let's be honest. Come on, it's the same way that sometimes we punish our kids, right? You're grounded for a week, and you're going to use that week to think about what you've done, right? If we just said, oh, you're grounded for 5 minutes, okay, go. They're not going to learn. There's a restoration process. Your kid lies to you. They get a longer sentence, right? They get a longer sentence. Why? Because you want them to realize you've got to earn my trust again. You got to show me you mean this. And listen to me, that's what Samson's doing. He's crying out in repentance, and God's saying, I want to see if this is real. And as that hair grows and that time passes, things continue to build up. He's repenting, he's listening, he's growing. And can I tell you, Christian, when you, as a Christian, do something that's completely outside of the will of God, and it's as public as what Samson does, and you have to bear the consequence of your sin in that matter, listen to me, it's going to take some time for you to rebuild your testimony amongst the church. It's going to take some time to rebuild your testimony amongst other believers. It's going to take some time to restore your testimony to the world. It's going to take some time. But listen to me, when it comes to restoration, there's a process. And I would encourage you to trust the process and the timeline of God when it comes to Him restoring. There are some people, they expect that as soon as they admit fault and admit they're wrong, that they should be put right back into where they were before. No. There's some healing that needs to take place. There's some consequences that need to be worked through. There's some learning that has to happen. So that way, if this won't happen again, amen? Amen? Are you with me this morning? Am I making sense to you this morning? There's some stuff that God wants you to move and to work through as He's restoring you. But listen to me, church. Be hopeful. God will restore. Amen. You know what Proverbs 24:16 says? A just man falleth seven times and rises up again on the eighth. Look, I don't care how many times you've screwed up. I don't care how, it could be seven, it could be eight, it could be nine, it could be ten, it could be one. But a just man, someone who's been, can rise up again. God still desires to use you and wants to restore you. There needs to be repentance. And last but not least, check this out. Not only does the hair tell us that there's still a calling on your life, not only does the hair growing back show that restoration takes time, but last but not least, restoration will happen. Listen to me, but this is very important. Restoration will happen, and when it does happen, it's for God's glory and not your own. That's important to hear, because when God finally gets us out of the mess, let's remember this is for His glory and not for our glory, right? That's why God, when He said to Moses, He said, go and free my people from Pharaoh. He told them, let my people go. And it didn't end there. It continued on, so that they may worship me, right? You have been set free to worship God. You have not been set free to do whatever you want. And that's what we see in the scripture. Look with me at verses 23 through 30. I'm going to read through the rest of this story and then hit on a couple of things. It said, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for an offer, a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god. What a cool name for a false god. I will just say that right now. Dagon. Dagon, right? Still a false god, but pretty. It's something you'd read like in a fictional novel, right? Dagon. Right? Dagon their god, and to rejoice, for they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, and they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and he and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, in other words, they got drunk, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. In other words, bring him out, and we're going to make fun of him and degrade him in front of everybody. That he may be made sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Mistake number one. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Remember, Samson's used to being able to lean upon something in order to do his work and the grinding in prison. He's not used to being upright. He's not used to standing on his own, and he cannot see. And it says, now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two pillars upon the house, upon which the house stood, wood and on which it was borne up of one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were there. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of the father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, what a wonderful way that we see God restoring Samson to be used for his honor and for his glory, despite all of the past sins, despite all of the horrific things that he had done. But here's the thing I want you to see in the midst of it. Number one, when Samson was restored, it was for God's glory and not his own. But Pastor, Samson cried out and said, let me avenge for them putting out my eyes. Yeah, but that's not why he was there. Can I tell you? Again, take this for what it's worth, because we don't have scriptural evidence of this. But again, I imagine there was a prayer meeting going on between Samson and the Lord while he was in the prison. And I imagine as he's crying out, Lord, please don't leave me. Please don't abandon me. Please let me be used for you again. I imagine that God spoke to him and said, well, why don't you just go ahead and get out of there yourself? Oh, that's right. You can't, right? Okay. I'm giving you a little insight as to how God talks to me, right? Because that's how I see God talking to Samson in this situation. Oh, you can't, right? Because you let them cut your hair. Okay. Well, Samson, your hair's growing back. Oh, that's wonderful. But Lord, I still can't see. Yeah, no, you can't. Lord, how am I going to finish the work that you've called me? The Philistines are being so horrible and being, they're praising their God. And after a while, after he's repented, I believe the Lord said, hey, you remember the code of the Nazarite that you're called to live by? Yes, Lord. Well, here's the thing. If you go back to Numbers, I believe it's Numbers 6:12, it talks about that if a Nazarite defiles his calling, the first thing he has to do in order to be restored is he needs to shave his head. What happened to Samson? Lost his hair. He didn't shave his head to begin with, so God, it almost seems like God took it from him. Which, by the way, if God can't get your attention and let you turn from him on your own, eventually he'll put something in your life that will get your attention to get you to turn. There's a warning sign. Number two, he needed to cry out in repentance. That's the second step. I believe you got Samson crying out in repentance. Why? Because you don't see him crying out in repentance when he's before the Philistines. That's not a cry of repentance. That's a cry of vengeance. The third thing, the Nazarite, after he cries out for repentance, had to go and offer a ram unto God, an animal sacrifice. Now, I don't have time to go down this road because it's not going to focus mostly on my story. But folks, can I tell you? Samson probably said, okay, Lord, well, where am I going to get the ram? And you know what Samson said? The ram's you. Or you know what God said to Samson? You're the ram. You want to clean this up? You're the ram. Now, praise the Lord, we don't live in the Old Testament where we got to make those sacrifices. And praise the Lord, in order for us to clean up our mess, we don't have to kill ourselves. Right? Praise the Lord, somebody died on our behalf. We don't have to pay the consequences for our sin. But I imagine Samson said to Jesus, or said to God, look, okay, well, how are we going to do this? I imagine the Lord said, okay, well, you probably already realized you're getting some of your strength back. You know what you got to do? There's going to be a boy that comes and gets you. Because I've got an axe to grind with the Philistines. Remember, when you get restored, it's for God's glory and not your own. Listen to me. God did not put Samson in the midst of the Philistines for him to kill them, for him to avenge their eyes. You know what God put Samson in the middle of the Philistines for? So that God could show the Philistines, your God never delivered Samson to you. I delivered Samson to you. And your God can't keep Samson. I'm going to bring him out. And guess what? I am the most powerful God. You shall have no other gods before me. God was showing the Philistines, your false God has no power. And you know what he showed Samson? That's what I want to use you for, is for my glory. Unfortunately for Samson, it cost him his life in order to do it. It cost him his life in order to do it. Now, I have some of my own theories on this because I think Samson knew what he was put in there to do, but I think Samson's sinful self still got in the midst of it. And probably when they were making game of him, it probably conjured up some things in him again, because as he pulled those pillars down, and it says he pulled them in and everything fell and everything crushed, and he said, let me die and I'm avenging my two eyes, Samson forgot this isn't about you, Samson. This is about the Lord's glory. And I wonder if Samson would have cried out and say, may God be glorified, and that be it, if Samson, even in the midst of the destruction, his life would have been spared. It makes you wonder. But again, we see Samson take a selfish approach. We see him take a selfish approach. But again, remember, folks, this was not for Samson's glory. He was used again, and he was restored for God's glory. So when God finally gets you out of your mess, when God finally teaches you in the midst of your repentance, when God finally brings you to an understanding of what he wants and how you can do better, and listen, gives you a second, or gives you a third, or gives you a 100th chance to be used to glorify him, I want you to understand one thing. Number one, it's not going to be like it was before. Samson was used by God, but you know what else? Samson was still blind. You damage your testimony, it's never going to get fully restored when God uses you. It's always going to haunt you until the day God takes you home. But you were still able to, so it's never going to be the same again. So don't expect it to be the same. But remember, he's using you for his glory and not your own. Which means, let me give you the most practical application I can, okay? Someone screws up, because I see this as a pastor. I saw it before I was a pastor. Someone screws up, and when they screw up and they're at their lowest point, they are in church every single Sunday. They're at the prayer altar every single Sunday. They're at small group every single week. Oh, man, they don't miss anything because they feel like they're paying penance to church. And as soon as time passes and things don't seem as horrible and God starts to restore, all of a sudden, they're gone again. We fail to learn in the midst of the process that God revealed to us. And we make it all about ourselves again, rather than what God desires. And rather what it's for his glory. Listen to me. God will let you, or God will bring you out of a giant mess that you have made that has drug his name through the mud to use you again, because you know what that does? That glorifies God. There's nothing that God cannot redeem you of, and there's nothing that God can't restore you from. That's glory to God. But you got to then live your life to the glory of God in order for it to be real, in order for it to make an impact, in order for your testimony to still be impacted. Now, let me ask you a question, and the worship team can come back up because I'm just about done. Let me ask you a question this morning, okay? Because we see all the horrible things that Samson did. We even see Samson at the end. Let me ask you a question. Was Samson saved? In other words, when you die and go to heaven, will Samson be in heaven? Pastor Peter, you could have kept your mouth shut. You're on a different level, okay? Is Samson in heaven today? Well, wait a second. Let me give you another proof text here real quick on a very important issue. Samson committed suicide. You know how many times I've heard from people when a loved one or a friend commits suicide, but they were a believer, are they in hell? I mean, I've heard many times, Pastor, that if you commit suicide, you are damned to hell. That is the unforgivable sin. Samson committed suicide. He's in heaven today. How do I know he's in heaven? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about Samson being one of the greats of faith. Which again, let me give you another lesson here real quick. This one will be free. It may not be recorded in Scripture of how faithful a man that Samson was, and it may give you a detail in four chapters of all the horrible things and all the ways he screwed up. But man looks on the outside, praise God, and God looks on the inside, praise God. And listen to me, even though we can't see Samuel's faithfulness in his testimony and in his life, God saw his faithfulness, records it in Hebrews 11, and says, this is a man of great faith. So don't pass judgment. Bring it all back to the beginning. If God says he's a great man of faith, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? But Samson, yes, he's in heaven. So, Christian, we talked about these things, that hair growing back can just be, again, it shows that there's still a calling on our life for restoration. It shows us that restoration takes time. So if you're in the midst of that, please, please be patient on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Let him renew you and lift you up, and restoration will happen. Restoration will happen, and it's for God's glory and not our own. Listen to me. Listen to me. Can we have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, and we'll turn the lights off or at least down, and we'll get ready to sing a final song and a song of invitation this morning. Listen to me. Christian, number one, if you're here this morning and you are messing around in stuff that you know is sin and that the Holy Spirit has continually convicted you of, to get out of it, heed the warning of the Holy Spirit this morning. Because if Samson's life doesn't tell you anything, it should tell you that it's payday someday. Pastor Jeff, I've been doing, I know it's sinful, and I know the Holy Spirit's prompted me to get out of this and not do this, but nothing seems to be happening, so, you know, I'm just going to keep doing it. Listen to me, it's payday someday. At some point, it will catch up, and at some point, you will reap what you sow. Scripture says God is not mocked. It will come to pass at some point. So, Christian, if you're in the midst, get out. Flee it. Turn your back from it. Run from it. Because one day, everything will be brought to light. It will affect you. You will have consequence for it at some point. Secondly, maybe you're a Christian here today and that time already came to you and you've been exposed. You fell hard. And the consequence of your sin cost you a lot of stuff. Maybe it cost you your marriage. Maybe it cost you a relationship. Maybe it cost you your job. But whatever it was, maybe you're here this morning and you feel like Samson. You're spiritually scalped. You're exposed. You're embarrassed. And maybe you even think, my testimony is gone. God can never use me again. I want to remind you this morning one more time. God can and wants to restore you. Your hair will grow back. It will. If you're able to, put your hand on your head this morning. Put your hand on your head this morning. I know that sounds weird. You feel that hair? I hope, well, Jeb, I'm sorry. But you still got to shave your head, don't you? It grows back. It takes time. It takes time. And listen to me. While you're in that waiting season, make sure you're crying out to God. You're praying unto God. You're listening unto God. And you're grinding for the Lord. And you're grinding for Him. Because there will be a time that He will give you an opportunity for His honor and glory again. And when that time comes, don't miss it. Pastor, how long is that going to take? I don't know. I don't know how long He wants your hair to grow before He'll put you back to work. But in the meantime, be faithful. And last but not least, if you're here this morning and you're not a believer, the biggest thing that I want you to see is that Samson had to pay for the consequences of his sin with his life. He had to pay for the consequences of his sin with his life. The consequences of his sin eventually killed him. The situation that he was in and bringing down those pillars. But listen to me. That's what Scripture tells us, right? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But thank the Lord, the verse doesn't stop there. Because then it goes on, and Christian, you're here today in the New Testament on the other side of the cross. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You do not have to bear the consequence of your sin if you're here today. And by the way, if you're here today and you're not saved, you know what the consequence of your sin is? Separation from God in a place called hell that was only prepared for the devil and his angels. It was never meant for you to be there. But someone's got to pay for your sins. And if you're not going to take up Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and shed his blood to cover all of your sins, past, present, and future, guess who's on the hook for him? You are. You are. But praise the Lord, he made a way through his son Jesus. And it says, anybody who comes unto him, he will give rest. He will give the free gift of salvation. All you got to do is put your faith and trust in his finished work, that he died on the cross for your sins and that he rose again to eternal life. If that's you here today and you're not saved, or you say, Pastor, I don't know if I died today, if I'd go to heaven. The altar is open. Don't let this moment pass, because you don't know when that moment's going to come again. And if you're here today as a Christian and you're a child of God and you need to just go and cry out, maybe you need to grind it out at the altar. Go cry out to the Lord. Cry out to him this morning. He'll hear you, praise the Lord, and know that he's still with you